All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gaurav. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Prasaya Vrtale Srimati Bhakti Vinata Swami Uttanaya. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vachaya Dose Sasanivani Vaskachaya Satyaka Mandayam Sri Guru Sri Uttanaya Shri Guru Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sarvanaravanatam Vitam Samsatam Sarvaitam Sarvaitam Parijana Sarita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pram Sarvanavarita Shri Vishakam Vitascha Vanchakalpati Vishakti Kusundami Vitakti Chinakam Vivarajana Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. December 6, 2015, in Chennai, India, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 17, The Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son, Text 25 through 28. Reading 25. Shri Brahma Vacha. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all glories unto you, who are glorified by all and whose activities are all uncommon. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, O Lord of the Transcendentalists, controller of the three modes of nature. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Text 26. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who have entered the cores of the hearts of all living entities. All the three worlds reside within your navel. Is that interesting? That means right now we're in the Lord's navel. All the three worlds reside within your navel, yet you are above the three worlds. Formerly, you appeared as the son of Krishna. To you, the supreme creator, who are understood only through Vedic knowledge, I offer my respectful obeisances. Text 27. O my Lord, you are the beginning, the manifestation, and the ultimate dissolution of the three worlds, and you are celebrated in the Vedas as the reservoir of unlimited potencies, the Supreme Person. O my Lord, as waves attract everything in this universe. Purport. The time factor is sometimes described as Kala Sutra, waves of time. Everything in this material world is within the time factor and is being carried away by waves of attraction, which represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll finish the last verse of this chapter. Text 28, my Lord, you are the original generator of all living entities, stationary or moving, and you are also the generator of the Prajapatis. So he's the chief Prajapati, so he's saying he's his own generator. Oh my Lord, as a boat is the only hope for a person drowning in the water, you are the only shelter for the demigods who are now bereft of their heavenly position. Thus end the Bhaktivinoda purports of the 8th canto, 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Supreme Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son. In this last verse, Brahma's referring to the reason for the Lord's appearance. You're the only shelter for the demigods who are now bereft of their heavenly position. We're going to talk mostly on text 27. There's so much in these verses, but because this is the one that has the purport. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport is talking about time. I thought we would discuss about time. Lord Brahma says again, oh my Lord, as waves attract branches and leaves that have fallen into deep water, you, the supreme eternal time factor, attract everything in the universe. So what is this time? And Lord Brahma is saying you attract everything in the universe. And Prabhupada in the purport also mentions this word attraction. He said that everything is within the time factor and is being carried away by the waves of attraction. So what is time anyway? Very difficult to say what is time. You know, that there's none of the scientists that really have any clue as to what time is. In fact, even from the Shastric point of view, understanding what time is very difficult. So we know that each of the elements of nature has a corresponding sense organ and a corresponding sense object. So for space, anybody know what is the corresponding sensory perception for space? The ear. Sound is going through space. We can perceive space through sound. Just like the other morning there were some bats in here. So they're using sound. Yes? You know that? Remember that from science class in school? So they're using sound to determine where there is space. And even some humans who are blind, they do that. They use sound to develop space. So we can perceive space through sound. Space is very difficult to perceive. We can perceive like the boundaries of space, but space itself is difficult. And that can be perceived through sound. Right, what about solid matter? How do we perceive solid matter? Touch. Actually, all of our senses can perceive solid and liquid. Taste, smell, right? And fire, light, we perceive with the eyes. Right? So every material element has some way of perceiving it, except time. And time is the... That means you can't perceive time at all. There's no way, You can't hear time, you can't smell time, you can't taste time, you can't touch time, you can't see time. And time is the first aspect of the creation of illusion. When Mahavishnu, Yakaranana Vajalaya Bhattatisma Yoga Nidram Ananta Jagananda Saram Kupadhara Shakti Mabalamya Pramaswamirti Yasyaikin Svatita Kala Matabalamya Jivanti Lomavi Vajan Jagananda Natha Vishnu Mahamsa Yayasa Kalabi Sesha. When Mahavishnu is breathing out the universe, is all that. The first thing that happens is he does what? Mahavishnu does what? First thing, when he's going to create the illusory world, he first glances at his material energy. Bhagavatam said it's like you want to wake up your sleeping wife to enjoy with her. We went from silver to paper. Somehow we went from like the Treta Yuga to the Kali Yuga. We skipped the Dwapara Yuga.
So Prabhupada says, just like, actually Bhagavatam says, just like the man, his wife is sleeping, he wants to be with her, wants to, she wakes her up. So Mahavishnu is waking up Maya with his glance. And this glance, who is this glance? It's glance as a person. Who is this glance? Anybody know the glance of Mahavishnu? It's a person. Anybody know who it is? So Shiva. Yes, it's Sadashiva. Because Vishnu doesn't touch Maya at all. But a Shiva is touching. So Shiva is then awakening Durga, Maya. And this glance is also time. Prabhupada says when the universal form says to Arjuna, Kaloshmi, I am time, is referring to him in his form as Lord Shiva. So this is the beginning of illusion. Illusion begins with time. And this time is what separates the pradhan into sattva, rajas, tamas, goodness, passion, ignorance, and what starts manifesting then space, gases, radiant energy, liquids, solids, etc., the bodies of all the living entities, karma, all the aspects of the material nature, the different senses and their sense objects and so forth, all of that starts with time. And therefore time cannot be perceived by any of those things. And it's because we can't perceive time at all, it's very difficult for us to discuss it. It's hard for us to talk about it. So the way that we talk about time is in metaphor. You all know what metaphor is? Everybody know what a metaphor is? Just like if we say Krishna's feet are like a lotus, that is a simile. If we say Krishna has lotus feet, that is a metaphor. He doesn't have lotus feet. It's not that we see, it's not that Krishna's feet are actually lotuses. Yes? You understand? So that is a metaphor. So metaphors and similes are used to understand things. They're used to understand things that are very difficult to understand. And because time is almost impossible to understand, we understand it with metaphor. So we have one metaphor for time is that it's something of value, like money. Time is money. Time is a valuable object. And we talk about how will you spend your time? Whenever we say, how will you spend your time? Don't waste time. I am running out of time. I'm going to give you some of my time. Why are you taking my time? Can I borrow some time? Oh, I lost some time. How are you using your time? Do you have the time? Do you have any time left? So that's talking about time as if it's some valuable object. Yes? Something like money. We can also talk about time as in distance. We can say Janmashtami is very close to Radhashtami. Christmas is very close to New Year's, as if time was some kind of a distance. Right? We can also say, I'm looking ahead in time. Again, as if time was some kind of a distance. We can think of time as a moving object. If you say, the time will come when we will meet again, like time will come to you. You can say, the time has arrived for greeting the deities. Again, as if time is some object that has come. Coming up in the days ahead, we will have Rath Yatra. Again, as if time is an object that is coming. You could say, before us is a great opportunity. Again, as if it's some kind of an object. You can say, let's meet in the future, the week following. You can also think of time as stationary, and we are moving to get it. You can say, we are approaching the end of the year, as if the end of the year is ahead of us, and we are approaching it. We're saying, as we go through the years, we remember our childhood, as if we are moving through it. So we talk about time as if it is a valuable substance. We talk about time like it is a distance. We talk about time as if it is an object that's moving to us. And we talk about time as if it's an object somewhere over there, and I am moving to it. And it's interesting, psychologists have understood that most people in their mind think of time in terms of space. So, because when you're a very little child, you don't have an understanding of past and present at all. Little children have no understanding like that. I remember when my oldest son was about 3 years old. So we had a program every morning. We would take him to Mangalarti, go to the whole temple program, take breakfast. Then we would go home and he would sleep for maybe 3 hours. And then we would wake up and we would have some prasadam and then he would play. So he was about three and a half. And he said, Mata, one day we go to Mangalarti and the next day we have lunch. So you thought, because he's sleeping, it's another day. And you find even children when they're 5 years old, they really have a hard time. What is yesterday and what is tomorrow? It's very, very difficult to figure out. And the way that psychologists have understood, the way we figure this out, is mentally we create a space. So each of us mentally, either time is to our right side in the future and to our left side in the past, or it's ahead of us in the future and behind us in the past, or sometimes above and below. And we mentally put things in a certain space to understand when it happened. Now, of course, time is not literally any of these things. Like if we talk about time being a valuable commodity. If I give you an hour of time as if it was some object, you can't give me back the same hour. If I give you 100 rupees, you can give me back the same 100 rupees. But if I give you an hour of my time, can you give me back that same hour? No. So it's not really, right? It's not really a thing, and it's not really a space, and it's not really any of those things. So one reason that time is so mysterious is that it is Lord Shiva, or one can say even it's Krishna himself. As here Lord Brahma is saying, as the eternal time factor, you acting as the eternal time factor. And the Acharyas explain in the purports to these verses, when Lord Brahma says that all the three worlds are in your navel, the Acharyas say that the Lord is, by time, pulling all the universes back into his navel. This is the breathing of Mahavishnu, breathing out and breathing in. Even the scientists talk about the universe expanding and contracting. Of course, they have a new theory every month, but it's their general idea. So there's this form of attraction that time is attracting us back into the navel of the Lord. So this time in this material world is Lord Shiva, the destroyer. That's how we experience time. We experience time as that, just like these flowers. So they're already starting to get brown. And within a day or so, then they'll be rotten. Now they have a nice smell, right? These flowers especially have a nice smell. But after some time, they will have a horrible smell. So we mostly see time as that which destroys. It destroys health, it destroys beauty, it destroys function, it destroys fragrance, it destroys vitality, it destroys everything. Right? Of course, sometimes time builds up, like when you're born and you're going from birth to full youthfulness, time is building. And then ultimately it's destroyed. Of course, Shiva is the best devotee, Vaishnava Ita Sambhu. So he is the best devotee. For the materialistic persons, time is very fearful. Time is their main source of fear. It says in the subterranean heavenly planets, the demons don't see the sun, and so they have no sense of time, and therefore they don't have any fear. Except periodically the Sudarshan chakra comes and destroys everything. You know, but that's in one sense it's even more scary because you just never know when it's going to come at all. Right? But that time is the main sense of fear for people. They say the main thing people are afraid of is I'm going to run out of money before I run out of time. What will time do to me? What will happen in the future? But for the devotee, we can see time in this world as Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, as the greatest devotee, can be our very good friend. Time can teach us detachment. Time can teach us detachment. You know, there's a story of one European lady was traveling in India, and she met some yogi, and he had nothing, just some little kopan. He didn't have a house, he didn't even have shoes, he didn't have much clothes, nothing. She said to him, you are living with nothing. You don't have anything. No house, no furniture, no clothing. And he looked at her and he said, well, where's your furniture? And she said, well, I'm only a visitor. And he said, well, me too. So time gives us detachment, that we are only visitors. We are just passing through. That very soon everything will be gone. All of our furniture, our clothes, our family members, our relationships. Here it's saying that as waves attract branches and leaves. So this analogy is often given, that all of our relationships and our possessions, they're just like little branches and leaves that have fallen to a river. And they're together, sometimes they're together, and then again they're separated. So it gives us a lot of detachment, not to look for our happiness in the things of this world that will very quickly, very, very quickly be separated from us. Very quickly. We can use them in Krishna's service and we can take care of them, but they should not be our source of happiness. We should not invest our happiness in them. Now, like I am just visiting here, I'm staying in this room temporarily. If I'm thinking, this room is the source of my happiness, let me paint it in the color that I like and decorate it how I like, it's foolishness. So detachment. Also, Lord Shiva as time gives us a sense of perspective. We can really understand how insignificant we are, which is so liberating. It's so liberating. We talked about this yesterday. That is, as soon as we think, I am important, I am the center, we are completely in anxiety because we're not important and we're not the center. We're important to Krishna because he loves us. That's something else. That's a different kind of importance. Right? Every baby is important to their mother and father because of love. Otherwise, how is it important? One baby, what importance do they have to the world? Nothing. But because the parents loving them, the love makes them important. So that kind of importance, that kind of significance we have. So time gives us this perspective. We were speaking the other day downstairs. Practically nobody remembers the names of their great-great-grandparents. Anybody here know all the names of their great-great-grandparents? No. So this means that our great-great-grandchildren, the grandchildren of our grandchildren, they will have forgotten our names. So this is an aspect of time. It gives us perspective. Because, how am I spending my time? What am I doing with my life? Why am I using my life to do things which in the course of time will have no meaning? Why don't I use my life for things that have meaning? And time also, as Lord Shiva, as this great devotee, as guru. Shiva is guru. He's one of the heads of one of the sampradayas. So as guru, he gives us also a sense of urgency. We have the sense that I have to become Krishna conscious now, in this life. I don't want to wait. I don't want to again go into a womb and again be born and so many things. Let me become Krishna conscious now. Just like many times the companies and shopkeepers, we're having a sale only for 2 days, you know. I was just looking at some tickets online and, you know, one price was like $200, one price was $90, and the $90 price, only 2 seats left. You have to buy now. So time gives us this. You don't know when you're going to die. Anybody know when they're going to die? Anybody can say? Anyone can say definitely? You know, my astrologer looked in my palm and he said, I will live to be. And time also gives us a sense of adventure. So this is very important. The other things were kind of negative. Detachment, perspective, and urgency were kind of negative things. But on the positive side, Lord Shiva as the guru, in having this time, gives us an idea of adventure. Because to have an adventure, things have to unfold in time. Yes, this is, of course, the mystery of the spiritual world. That in the spiritual world, everything is always the present, yet there's the Astakali Lila. And there's things happening in time. You know, Mother Yasoda goes to take care of the milk, and then Krishna breaks the butter pot, and then Mother Yasoda chases him, and then Mother Yasoda ties him up, and then Krishna pulls down the trees. There's an and then. This happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. So even in this world, which is also one of the creations and pastimes of the Lord, if we see our life as an adventure in Krishna's pastimes, then this uncertainty of time and this changing of time becomes an impetus for our loving relationship with Krishna. Oh, what will Krishna do next? What will Krishna do next? What will Krishna do next? What wonderful heroic feat will Krishna perform in my life next? How will Krishna solve this problem in my life? How will Krishna solve this problem? What is Krishna going to do next? Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this in Jiva Dharma, seeing our lives as part of the adventure and the leela of the Lord. And please don't think, first I have to wait to become a pure devotee, and then I can think like that. No, if you think like that, you will become a pure devotee. So in the spiritual world, of course, time is always present. There's no past, there's no future. It's always the present. Therefore, there's no naso chitina kanchati. When there's no lamentation, oh, why did I do this? Why didn't I do this? Oh, what happened in the past? Oh, what happened in the past? And there's no hankering. Oh, I want to get this in the future. I want to get this in the future. I want to get this in the future. That is absent. One who comes to the Brahman platform doesn't have this hankering and lamenting for past and future. Although there's a sequence of events. So as we become Krishna conscious, we should also be absorbed in the present. We look at the aspect of the illusion of time in this world of past, present, and future and destruction, which is the beginning of illusion. We develop detachment and we be absorbed in the present. How can I relate with Krishna now? How can I relate with Krishna now? How can I relate with Krishna now? What adventure is Krishna going to have in my life now? And our relationship with Shiva is as the protector of the Dhamma. We don't relate with him fearfully as the destroyer of all of our plans and the destroyer of all of our attachments. We relate to Lord Shiva as the one who's protecting the Dhamma. Gopeshwar. Right? One who's guarding Vrindavan, guarding Mayapur, guarding Radhakuni. And we ask this manifestation of time in the world, please let me enter into the Dhamma. Enter into the eternal lila of Krishna, which is always in the immediate present. And let me be attracted into the navel of the Lord, as Brahma is explaining here, not being sucked in as the universe is into Mahavishnu, but we say, Namaste stu dhamne sparabdhidhidhamne, twadiyodaraya vishvasvadhamne. Twadiyodara, udara is his navel, vishvasvadhamne. Your navel, your belly, which is the abode of the universes. I offer my obeisances to your belly. So we want to be attracted to Krishna's navel, not being sucked in the universes, but worshipping his navel as the abode of the universes, worshipping in love and affection. So thank you very much. I have another program in an hour, so I don't have time for questions today. I apologize. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.